Azania Mosaga on 702. Call Azania on 011-883-0702.
Right, it's 24 minutes to 2 o'clock. Now, I recall an SMS that we got yesterday when we were talking about the recession and what it actually means for you and I. And I thought about that SMS the whole day. It came from someone who said that they started their business last year, September, and if it survives these tough economic times, this recession, and the fact that all these tough times that are said to still lie ahead, he knows that things will be fine. So SMEs in this recession, they role in the economy and how they survive these really, really tough times. There are record levels of unemployment in South Africa, and we're always told that it is small businesses, it is entrepreneurs that will help to change this tide. But it's tough. It's absolutely tough. So joining us now, and then, of course, got invited to this particular expo, Small Business Expo, that is coming up. And I thought, wow, okay, all of a confluence of different issues all at once. Well, let's take a look at small businesses in this tough economic environment with this recession. And joining us in studio now is Marang Marekimani, and she is the founder of Business Process Mechanics. Good afternoon, Marang. How are you?
I'm very well, Lasagna. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. So what are you, a small or medium-sized enterprise?
I'm definitely still a small business. One day I'll grow up.
Yes, one day we'll get to all grow, hopefully. So you also not only work with automation, designing automation processes for businesses, but you also work with designing business models for small businesses. So you're ideal, actually very ideal for us to look at this issue with.
Yeah.
We always hear about the importance of entrepreneurship, of entrepreneurs or small to medium-sized businesses that question in this country for the economy. So what is the significance of SMEs in SA?
It's a huge significance. I mean, you've mentioned it earlier that we are expected to be creating jobs for the future, to absorb and to reduce the unemployment rate. But I think more so than starting a business is actually having that entrepreneurial mindset that says, let me create a solution based on the resources that I have for the circumstances that I have to deal with. So whether that becomes a business or not is sort of immaterial in the future state, because what we need is just solutions for generally people just getting out of poverty and creating income streams.
Yes, absolutely. And as you said, the money often will come later, but not all of us go into it like that, right?
Yeah.
We do preface the money. And there are a lot of pitfalls in our environment.
Yeah.
When it comes to the success of small businesses, they're ever present. In fact, it's like it's one of those things that you just have to straddle, that you have to live with as a reality of running your own business in South Africa. So what are some of these, the ones that you've observed that many businesses encounter?
Look, we always have to bear in mind that there isn't a big business that didn't start out as a small business.
Yeah.
So we also have to pace ourselves. The issue of funding is a very, very big issue for us. And when you start saying recession, it's just like, oh no. So
yes,
it's going to be even harder to get that kind of money.
In fact, investment is one of the areas in our economy that is down as far as the latest figures are concerned around why we're in a recession.
So we'll definitely feel the pinch as small business owners, a little bit differently to what the large corporates will feel, because they've got some investments that have been existing for a couple of years. They've made sure that there's security and surety to cover those issues. Whereas as small business owners, we don't have those things.
Yeah.
Skills is an issue. So it's quite important that we keep upskilling ourselves as business owners, but also find alternative means to upskill the staff that we work with.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you get people to work right with you and actually be invested in growing the business with you? How do you get them to give them, I mean, we can't afford to give them bursaries or scholarships or anything like that. But do encourage using platforms like a Udemy or digital tools to learn and get that experience for your staff members. So I think those kind of things will keep us abreast. finding ways to diversify your products and services. So figure out how many ways you can sell your products and services to how many markets. Mm-hmm. And that will definitely make you sleep easier at night.
A little bit more resilient.
Just a little bit. Just a little bit.
Yeah.
And I think especially now when we enter into a recession, it's going to be more and more important that we also start reducing the waste that is in our business.
Mm-hmm.
So start looking at where could I be saving money as opposed to be, you know, spending it? Where could I swap services with people as opposed to having to pay? Because that will take you a long way, especially when you don't have the money in your account.
Okay, so a couple of things have come up from what you've just said. Is this bartering of, you know, bartering between businesses, is it catching on?
It's quite slow in the country. It's quite slow in South Africa. I mean, in my first year of business, so I've been in business now for 4.5 years.
Mm-hmm.
In my first year, I definitely did that quite a lot. And I've seen how it had helped me. So I needed an accountant, and instead of having me paying for the accounting services, I went and fixed their business model in order to get their accounting services. That definitely went a long way. Marketing, I did pretty much the same thing. I wish people caught on to it more.
It's going to be necessary.
It's going to be necessary as things get tougher and tougher.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, if we can equate the value of the service and products that we're giving each other, then sure, let's go for it. We don't necessarily need physical cash to be doing all of those things.
Mm-hmm.
It's probably in the same way that you could look at a cryptocurrency. It's not going to be physical in your hands or anything like that, but you're still getting the service for service.
Yes.
So it should go a long way.
Yeah. You were talking about staff earlier on as well, that you should do your best, of course, to upskill not just ourselves, but also the people in our employ.
Yeah.
But what is the attitude and the mindset at a time like this? Because the business owner, even the people that work within the business, they can see the difference is tangible over the past 3 years or so. I think the difference is completely tangible. Maybe your Monday cycle is completely different to your previous Monday cycle,
yeah,
or even your Saturday trade is completely different from your Saturday trade a number of years ago.
Mm.
So yes, maybe you've built up that level of resilience on the one side, but then on the other hand, there is that anxiety that creeps in. I mean, you walk into a mall and you walk into a shop and the sales assistant's almost like desperate
to
get your sale, you know. So it is quite tangible.
So if that sales assistant is my staff member and they're desperate to make a sale, you can imagine how I feel as a business owner.
Exactly.
I'm like desperate times magnified.
Why are you making the sale?
Exactly. So I think we need to make a more concerted effort. We have, I think as small business owners especially, we have overlooked the need to train our staff outside of just the specific role that we need them for. It is a luxury for us to find people that are already upskilled and have got the background, a qualification or experience. And that's a very rare find, and it's really affordable for most of us. But if we encourage them, you know, pay for the workshop where it is 150 rand for your staff member to go learn social media marketing, for instance. Get them to an expo, like a small business expo, for them to understand. So what does it take? Why is it that you are not sleeping and you're anxious about business? And I think that will draw you closer to your staff members. Then they will understand what it is that you're going through, and sometimes even offer alternatives as to, hey, boss, you know, maybe if we did this and maybe we do that. And that's where I'd like to encourage small business owner to listen more attentively as to the suggestions that they come, because it could be, it's very difficult also when you're stressed out to listen to alternative ways of doing business. You tend to look at it as criticism more than you see it as an opportunity to grow. So
yes, and I guess your mind state at that time is a very different one. It's about survival.
Yeah.
It's not about, now we can implement a new system, you know, because those are luxuries that you, hopefully will be or are doing when, it's summer, spring and summer in your business.
Yeah. So, I mean, in terms of implementing new systems, we're fortunate as a small business owner that I could find tools online to some and reduce some of my stresses. You know, there's things that allow you to work, you know, automate things like scheduling your marketing posts on a social media platform, so that reduces the amount of time you spend in a day trying to find customers online. You know, automate the things that can be done via your website.
Mm-hmm.
So start selling from your website. Make it easier for people to just buy the product and pay for the product online. And that reduces your need for a physical store. That reduces the amount of time you spend answering emails to submit a quote and, you know, do an invoice. And by then, Azania has changed her mind and I've lost the sale.
Yes.
So I think we need to really, really be smart, especially as to how we use apps into our businesses. That could save us a lot of money.
Mm. If you're listening now, maybe you're a small business owner, small to medium sized business owner. You have your own advice about how you're surviving these tough times. We'd love to hear from you. And also maybe you have a question for my guest, Marang Marikimani, who is the founder of Business Process Mechanics. And we're talking to her just about really her insights, her observations and learnings over the years about SMEs in South Africa. It's 011-883-0702 and 31702 for your SMSs. I'm just loving the direction of the kind of advice, the kind of ideas that you could start to implement to some ideas that you could implement to make your business a little bit more resilient during these hard times. 011-883-0702.
702. Azania Mosaka. Lines are always open on 011-883-0702.
It's 12 minutes to 2 o'clock. We're taking your calls this afternoon. Maybe you run a small business. What's been your experience in these hard times? And what does this recession mean for your business? What are you implementing? What are you doing differently? Because you need to stay afloat. You need to survive. In fact, South African business conditions are at the worst they've ever been. In more than 2 years, the Standard Bank Purchasing Managers Index was released earlier on today, and it showed that domestic business conditions deteriorated further this previous month of August because the index dropped, and this is a 29-month low. So the figures are saying that, our experiences are saying that. So how do we get through these hard times? And Marang Marikimani, who's the founder of Business Process Mechanics, is with us, and she helps businesses automate their processes and also helps them refine their business model. Gerald, good afternoon. You're calling from Johannesburg South. Hello.
Yes. Thank you for taking my call. Just an input. I know businesses come in many shapes and sizes, so I can only comment on my type of business.
Right? Sure.
I deal a lot with various corporates and government and so forth. Mm. I just want to mention two areas that we need to resolve when government talks about enabling environment for small micro businesses and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're always encouraging small businesses to register, get into the tax net and stuff like that, legitimize yourself.
Mm.
But here's the madness about what I think, that what I call boardroom design. When you put bureaucrats in a room and they come up with ideas, and those ideas doesn't filter into small business owners' field of work.
Mm.
For example, did you know that in South Africa, SARS demands that small businesses pay VAT on invoice?
Yes.
Now, you can imagine dealing with government or corporate that they take 60 to 90 to 120 days to pay. So when you give an invoice, they demand that you pay over to SARS within that VAT cycle the VAT on that amount that you're invoicing. And if you're doing it with 20 or 30 clients, even though it's small amounts, it means you have to pay that upfront, wait for your client. And SARS insists, by all means, they don't want to change the rule for small businesses. Now, I'm not sure how is that creating an enabling environment. And the second one, just quickly, I know you push for time. The second one is, they have a rule that says, we will tax you either 7% as a small business or 26%, right? Depending on seven criteria, and one of those is virtually impossible for small businesses to work around. They say, excluding the directors in a business, you need to employ 3 people minimum to be known as a small business. I don't know if you knew that.
Mm-mm.
And SARS therefore says, if you cannot qualify on that point, then we tax you 8%, I think, 37%, 28%.
Okay.
But if you employ more than 3 people, all right, then we'll tax you 7% as a small business, no matter what your turnover. Now, you're saying, hold on, if I'm a small business starting up, how many of us employ 3 people other than the director or directors in the business?
You are the business,
And to qualify for that different tax rate is often the difference between you paying 10,000 a year tax and 150,000 a year tax.
Yeah.
That doesn't sound to me like government is really enabling a climate, just on 2 points that I mentioned, as stumbling blocks, you know. So whilst I appreciate the rest of the conversation, I thought I'll just contribute as to your first remark about government always saying, go small business, way to go. But how do both SARs, at least how do SARs qualify that point? And unless I'm misinformed, me and my accountant, I've been paying that all the time on those two technicalities.
Yeah, can be quite a sore point. Gerald, thank you so much for your call. How insightful, very detailed as well. Your response to that, Mara?
I think, so compliance is a very big issue for us as small business owners, right? So we also need to start participating in forums where we can start making that those policy changes an issue. So let's raise these issues and say this is not working out for us. Because the way compliance is designed in this country, it is designed for the big corporates.
Yes.
So we are looking to make as much money as we can make from the rich.
Yes.
And we are overlooking the needs of the small business owner in order for them to facilitate that even employing the three people that he's speaking about.
In fact, we're looking at the National Development Plan after 2 o'clock because even in its vision, it's about ease of business in this country for small businesses. Because yes, in the assessment of South Africa is that much of this is designed for the big businesses, as you've just stated.
And we'll continue to see very low impact of that NDP plan, right? Because of the barriers to entry that compliance actually or barriers to growth that compliance actually produces for us. And we need to do a lot of work around changing that policy. So small government and large corporates need to involve small businesses a lot more in terms of, so what's working, what's not working for you. Let's understand what the dynamics are, and let's create services that are actually suitable for you. Because it's also counterproductive, because the future of work says you and I are not going to get full-time contracts, permanent work. We are going to be looking at flexi hours. We're probably going to have 3 or 4 different types of jobs in a day. So, I mean, if we're still looking at counting employment as a formal contract that says you are here forever and a day until you resign, it's kind of counterproductive to the equation.
Oh, absolutely. Really solid points. And, okay, I forgot what I was going to add to that. We'll move on. It's fine. We'll move on. So when it comes to being bankable, and banks, of course, have to watch the risk. You also have to watch your credit. And I'm just thinking now with what Gerald had to say, the difference between that 7% and that 20%+ in these hard times could mean a lot, especially with household and consumer spending being so low.
Yep.
That's the point I actually wanted to make. But then how do we make ourselves more bankable and ensure that we actually model our businesses in such a way that we're not only bankable, but we're built to sell?
I think the first would be to diversify the products that and services that you offer. Not just look at one market, but how many ways can you do it? So, for instance, I'm a consultant, but I do public speaking as well. We run workshops as well. So that's already 3 different income streams just from one business. So that would be one. And we do quite a few sessions on that in partnership with another company that I'm with, is Lean Business Platform. And we use design techniques as well. So we use design thinking rather. So we show people that there are ways to improve your products, A, and B, there are ways that you can diversify the way that you sell them. So your target market doesn't necessarily have to stay the same. 2, we also need to be driving that sense of community. So if you really are worried about your friend who's an entrepreneur, the best thing you can do is buy from them or refer business from them, right? Stop sitting there and going, oh, show me CV, tons of duster off and whatever. That's not where we need to be going right now.
Yeah.
We actually need to be facilitating and making sure that our communities are very, very involved in the businesses that are growing around them. Find out how you can volunteer, even if it is just for you getting a referral that says, and Anya has got this work experience for future references. So we need to get involved.
But household spending is down. People are like, I'm not spending on you. I'm not spending on Marang. I'm not spending on, but I'll go to H&M. Let's go to Slami in Pretoria. Hello, Slami.
Hi, Azania. This is Slami.
Yes, welcome.
Just to be quick, you know, I've done some work in 45 countries, 22 in Africa. And what I see in South Africa, I see South Africa having 4 worlds in one country. You have the developed, the medium income, the developing and the underdeveloped. And the minimum standards in terms of business and other things are based on the developed country. And that leaves a lot of people excluded from the economy. So I really agree with your guest there that sometimes it's very difficult for somebody to even start something. Mm. When I travel in Africa, in other African countries, well, the minimum standards there are so low that everybody or a majority of people can become entrepreneurial and really try out certain things. But when I come home, I see this gap which forms a form of exclusion for the majority.
Yeah.
That makes me wonder if we need, you know, two systems. You know, I don't know. I don't have an answer, but it is a major concern for me.
Yeah, it is a major concern, absolutely, Hlami. And even with what Gerald said, it just feels like we've been singing the same song for such a long time. Small businesses have been crying out for a very long time. Even if you don't trade with government, those that do, you know, have been crying about payment periods. Yes, that was improved upon. And then there's this kind of falling back to old habits. But if you're consumer facing as well, there's still so many other challenges that you're confronted with. And our regulations just simply don't make it easy enough. Mm. Nobody's saying it should be easy. Let's understand that. It's not supposed to be easy. Otherwise, we'd all have our own businesses. But ultimately, where you can ease processes, where you can ease practices for people, the government should be doing that.
Mm.
So, Marang, you'll be there at this expo from the 6th to the 8th of September, right? It's the Small Business Expo. It's happening at the Ticket Pro Dome. And I think the conversations, I can only imagine what those conversations will be like. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you very much for having me.
That was Marang Marikimani, the founder of Business Process Mechanics.